Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll check in with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, learn what the General Vesey chapter of the AUSA is doing, and talk with Minnesota National Guard's Command Sergeant Major. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
No better friend, no worse enemy. There are few organizations more feared by freedom's foes and more admired by the world than our United States Marine Corps. Montezuma, Tripoli, Chosin, Iwo Jima, and Fallujah. We know these names because brave Marines stepped up to serve us, fighting and winning our nation's battles and wars. This month, Marines around the world, including many here in Minnesota, celebrate the Marine Corps birthday. They celebrate their proud lineage, earned through hundreds of years of service and sacrifices made by generations of Americans who proudly take on the nicknames Devil Dogs and Leathernecks. Our Marines have time and time again proven to be always faithful. Semper Fi, Marines, and happy birthday.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Martina Malik was appointed as Associate Director, Chief Experience Officer of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System in April 2017. And Martina, I want to welcome you back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Now, I was looking to try to see what we talked about the last time you were here. It was about 4 years ago, and you had a different name and a different job.
A lot of changes have occurred in the 4 years I last spoke with you, yes.
What in the world happened?
I can't keep a job. I decided to get married.
And you moved out of, were you the director of Prosthetic Treatment Center?
Yes, sir, I was. I miss prosthetics, though. We do great work there. We have a fantastic team, and eager to work with them in a different capacity now.
But you get to go back and check in with them once in a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably got some patients that were pretty good friends.
They are, yes.
So you have moved up, Associate Director, Chief Experience Officer. What in the world is a Chief Experience Officer?
I get asked that question almost daily. My role as an executive team member is to focus on the patient experience from all touch points within our healthcare system. So that includes things not just in the exam room. It includes scheduling the appointment, the physical space, the environment once they're there, navigating to get to the appointment, what they need to do once they leave to manage their healthcare.
So the whole experience from the first time you joined the VA system, you're eligible to get some help out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, all the way through the rest of their lives, really.
Yes, sir.
So I got to think back a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, I went out and filed a claim, and the claim was accepted, and I was accepted into the system, and I've been getting my health care there for years and years. One of the really interesting things that I thought was really useful was my health e-vet, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can send in notices or notes to the nurses and the doctors, and and I can get my prescriptions. And if you learn how to use it and you use it, it really supplements the experience.
Absolutely. We push that tool out to a lot of our veterans and encourage folks to use it. Kind of cuts out the middleman of having to call and leave a message because our providers are in clinic and they can't step away to take phone calls. So if you use My Health e-vet and that secure messaging, it's a good way to connect with your provider. And they have to respond within 72 hours to get back to our patients. And it just keeps the communication lines a little cleaner and more efficient.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's usually about 24 hours or less, and here comes
that's
back.
What I like to hear.
Now, who decided, Director Kelly probably had something to do with this, but why did the Minneapolis VA decide they needed the Chief Experience Officer?
And Mr. Kelly absolutely decided to make that change. So about 4 years ago, he was looking to do some restructuring within the organization at the senior leadership level, trying to just maximize effectiveness and efficiency and make sure that we were hitting all the priorities that we needed to when it came to our veterans' health care. So he created an associate director level chief experience officer. So Minneapolis VA is unique in that regard. We have two associate directors, one that's the more traditional route that handles operations, the administrative side, if you will, and one that focuses on experience. What's good about that is that there's always somebody at the table that's asking, what does this new process that we're discussing or this new rule that's come down, how do we make it most efficient, easy, understandable to our patients? And not that everybody isn't thinking that. It's just nice to be able to have somebody that can make that a priority and that that's always part of the conversation, because being a federal organization, we've got a lot of rules. And sometimes we make things a little more challenging than they are in, say, the private sector. And so to make that a priority, it has helped improve the experience of our patients.
We're speaking with Martina Malik, the Chief Experience Officer at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, on Minnesota Military Radio. Martina, a lot of the veterans, anybody that reads the press, you keep seeing reports of problems at other VA medical centers and problems with veterans getting appointments and delays and things like that. We're fortunate here in Minneapolis because for the last 6 years that the hospital's been rated, we've been rated top, number five. But does this mean in this position that you have now that you spend a lot of time talking to the patients to find out how are things going? What's good? What's bad? How can we do better?
Yes, sir. That's what I spend all of my time doing. We have many different avenues for patients to give us their feedback, whether it's in town halls, open houses, veteran focus groups, committees and task forces. We always try to have veteran representation on those as well within the medical center. But we also use surveys, both hard copy mail-out surveys and electronic surveys that come through email. And we really take the feedback, listen to what our patients are saying, and make changes accordingly.
So you have to figure out ways to communicate with us old vets and some of the young ones.
Yes, sir.
in whatever format that they might be comfortable with, whether it's in person, by phone, email surveys,
yes.
My Health E-Vet, all
yep.
of those things. That must be challenging.
It can be, but I think what's nice is that we have the team in Minneapolis really believes in the mission. And when you walk into our medical center, everybody you speak to can tell you our mission and why we're here to serve veterans. And everybody is eager to meet the veteran where they're at, and so that we can best manage their whole health, not just whatever disease they're there to get treated. We really make it a priority across the board to accommodate in the appropriate way to treat our veterans.
Now, Martina, Director Kelly tells me that I can't remember the number, but you've got hundreds and hundreds of volunteers out there, and you see them everywhere when you go out there for an appointment. I'll bet you have to talk to them sometimes too, because they have that firsthand experience with the veterans.
We do. So our voluntary service fleet, I call them, they have about 1,500 volunteers. One of the specialty programs that we have within our voluntary service program is called the First Impression Volunteers, and we have about 150 volunteers dedicated to that system. And those are the folks that you see when you come in our medical center that wear the red vests. We had some visitors from Washington, D.C. last year come in and notice the red vest volunteers and how they really were so accommodating. They were engaging with patients. They welcomed everybody. They were able to point them in the right direction of where they needed to go. It really was a concierge-like service. He went back to D.C. and said, this needs to be spread around the whole country. Subsequently, it was. We were the Minneapolis team were on calls to develop the curriculum. We shared what we had. D.C. sent a bunch of people out to our hospital to watch it and see it and play. And it is now, you will see somebody in a red vest or a red jacket at every VA you go to in the country.
Martina, we're going to have to take a short break. But before we go, if any of our listeners want to volunteer out there at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, how do they go about it?
They can, if they call the regular 1100 number, they can be directed to voluntary service. Or if they want to just go into the voluntary service department in the hospital, they can take care of them there.
So if they go online and just look up the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, mm-hmm. the phone number is going to be there and there'll be information on
yes,
how
sir.
To volunteer. You can always use some more, right?
That's right.
All right. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Martina Malik, the Chief Experience Officer at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Martina Malik, who is the Chief Experience Officer and Associate Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and was appointed to that position in 2017, and last time she was on, she had a different name and a different job, we found out, but she seems pretty happy with this one. And Martina, can you just tell us once again, what is a Chief Experience Officer for the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Certainly. So my job is to consider all of the different touch points within our healthcare system and how it affects our veterans. So we consider how scheduling can be made easier, more efficient, more accommodating to group several appointments together, how the space is once they get here. Is it easy to navigate? Is signage clear? Do they know what to expect once they leave their medical appointment? Do they know where to call after hours? Do they know how to refill prescriptions? All of those aspects of the healthcare system are part of the patient experience office.
So you work with everybody in the medical center, everybody in the community-based outpatient clinics to take the compliments and the complaints and the feedback and try to smooth the system so everything works a little quicker and better and easier.
Yes, sir. I spend a lot of time visiting our outpatient clinics and our rural communities and going to veteran service organizations to hear what our veterans are telling us, what would make it easier for them to use our system or to just bring them here. Minnesota is actually seeing a reduction in number of veterans. I think people are moving south. We have snowbirds that are moving south and staying south. And so we are trying to encourage our veterans to use our system and come ask the questions, tell us what they want. And if we can accommodate it, we absolutely will.
And, of course, you've got a lot of things in place like MyHealth eVet to make it easy to get your prescriptions, make it easy for veterans to communicate with the doctors and the nurses and the staff. And if you can educate the veterans to use some of those things, mm-hmm. it's going to make the whole thing work better, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now you have to figure out how to do that.
Yes.
Fortunately, we are veterans, and we do have a little bit of discipline left that we learned when we were in the military. And when I'm sitting talking to my doctor or my nurse, I'm usually sitting at attention and saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And so I've found that if I listen, do what they tell me to do, my life is better. So hopefully.
I wish all patients took that approach. But we do provide many avenues for veterans to get educated, whether it's one-on-one training or if they prefer the group setting, whether it's electronic or hard copy. We have all of those delivery methods that just make it a little bit easier for everybody.
And Martina, one of the things we've learned in the years of doing this program, with having a lot of different doctors on from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, you've got a lot of talent out there. You can help with suicide prevention. You can help with post-traumatic stress. You can help with traumatic brain injury. If veterans have issues and they're eligible to be taken care of by the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, you've got about as much talent out there as anyone in the country, and you know how to help.
We do. So Minneapolis is a level 1A complexity facility. So that's the most complex system that is in the VA. And so we have all of the specialties with the exception of organ transplants. We can do everything else for you at our medical center.
Now, Martina, I saw a notice about November. November is a lot of things to a lot of people, but President Trump put out a new notice about November. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, so President Trump has declared November of 2018 the second annual National Veterans and Military Families Month to salute the brave and dedicated patriots who have worn the uniform of the United States and to celebrate the extraordinary military families whose selfless service and sacrifice make our military the finest in the world.
And part about that of that is they talk about, is it like 300 events nationwide for this month?
Yes, sir. VAs across the country will be having different events to recognize our veterans and their family members through many different venues, whether it's at the medical centers, in their local communities, or at their CBOX.
And when you have events here in Minnesota, whether it's at the medical center or at the community-based outpatient clinics, that's part of your job to go out there and make sure you talk to some of those veterans and your patients.
That is part of my job, but we scheduled them quarterly to do the town halls in different CBOX. We do a rotation there. Sometimes we do them through VTEL, so patients can show up to their clinic and look at us through a camera and ask our questions that way. Sometimes we go in person. We also do sort of ad hoc visits. We just pop in to see how folks are doing, how the staff is doing. You know, it's just as important to acknowledge our staff and make sure that we're making it easy for them to continue to deliver the excellent service that we do to our veterans. So We have the schedule is out for the year. We keep it going and advertise it on our website, on our social media. We do have a Facebook and Instagram account, also Twitter. I don't tweet, but I'm told we get Twitter or tweets and, you know, where we push out information as well.
We're speaking with Martina Malik, the Chief Experience Officer of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Well, Martina, I understand you've got a couple events coming up. This weekend is Veterans Day, and there's an event, I believe, on Monday the 12th?
Yes, sir. So at noon to 2:30 on Monday, the Veterans Day program will be in our main flag atrium. Mr. Kelly will be there to speak, and I know we have a few others that will be in attendance as well. And we bring as many of the veterans that are inpatient, we bring down to that main atrium, and it's a really nice celebration to honor our veterans.
And that's open to patients, veterans, civilians, anyone who wants to come.
Anybody who wants to come.
Mm-hmm. And then I understand there's another town hall coming up, and Director Kelly tells me that they get a lot of valuable feedback from those.
We do. So we just recently got a new network director in VISN 23, Mr. Rob McDivitt. And he will be touring our medical center, spending the day with us, and then he will be with us for the town hall that evening. That is Monday, November 19th from 6 to 8 in our main auditorium. And again, that's also open to patients, staff, or the general public.
So that's the new regional director that would be above Director Kelly.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, Director Kelly spent some time as the temporary regional
did,
director
yes.
while they were waiting for him. So a lot of events coming up, a lot of opportunities to interact with our veterans. And, of course, another thing that's happening right now is trying to get all our veterans to get in to get flu shots.
Yes. So please come get your flu shot. We have all our vaccines in, and you can do walk-in clinics and or get it when you have your other regularly scheduled appointments.
And I think I was out there about a month ago, and the clinic I was going to didn't have it, but they sent me up to another floor.
That's the one that did, yeah.
I had to wait all of about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And got my flu shot and got out of there.
Good.
And so let's get all of your patients in there to get their flu shots.
Yes,
and,
sir.
So they get through the winter. Martina, what's next? We got a couple of minutes left. What's coming up the rest of this year and for 2019? How are you going to continue to network with all our patients and all our veterans?
Sure. Well, we will certainly continue to promote the value of the patient experience within our healthcare system. Our new secretary, Robert Wilkie, has made customer service his number one non-clinical priority within the VA. His goal is to have all of VA to be the number one customer service organization in the federal government. And we have a lot of tools available to us to do that. Our patients in Minneapolis will continue to see some changes. We have rolled out a new customer service training that really empowers the staff to be more principles-based versus rules-based to take care of our veterans according to our core values. Additionally, we have little things that make a big difference, though. There's something called a Green Glove Initiative. And that is, there'll be green gloves posted around the medical center. You'll see them so that people can, if they see something, the staff presumably can pick it up and throw it away. And it's everybody's responsibility to keep the environment clean. We have another program coming called My Life, My Story, where veterans can tell their story to their providers, and it will be condensed into a 1,000-word clinic note, and it goes in their medical record. So providers can see what matters to veterans. It can be about healthcare, it can be about their family, it can be about their hobbies, and just something to make a connection to understand what's important to our veterans.
A lot of things going on, and I think you're gonna have a lot more going on in the coming years. Very happy that you were able to stop by and say hello to us today, and say hello to Director Kelly when you see him next.
I will. Thank you again for having me.
Thanks for joining us. That was Martina Malik, the Chief Experience Officer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Coming up next, we're going to meet with the General Vesey Chapter of the AUSA and find out all the great work they're doing. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the General Vesey Chapter of the AUSA. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I am honored to be with you this week as we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day around the state and nation. Veterans Day is truly a day to celebrate. Join us on November 11th at the Invergrove Heights Community Center for a Veterans Day celebration. Visit minnesotaveteran.org for more information. On Veterans Day, we celebrate the humble men and women who understand the call of duty, the meaning of honor, and the values of this nation. They did not serve for glory or fame. They served to preserve our way of life. For this, we honor them as America's finest citizens. It is because of our veterans who defended our country and embody its purpose and vision that we continue to be a prosperous and free nation. To our veterans listening, on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it is my honor to say thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalado. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to be joined today to talk about the AUSA General John W. Vesey Jr. chapter. And joining us now is President Jocelyn Kujula. And Jocelyn, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Jocelyn, I want to get into your background a little bit. Just before we get into AUSA, I understand that you've been a chairperson of the Southwest Twin Cities Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
I have been. I've been fortunate to have the support of some city council members. We encompass four communities, Edina, St. Louis Park, Minnetonka, and Hopkins. So we've got a strong network of military communities that are making up that Southwest Twin Cities.
Very good. And I also understand that your full-time job is working in the financial services industry.
Yes, I've been in the financial services industry about 8 years. So I currently am a financial planner with Rock Island Wealth Management. And we are working with business owners, doing their financial plan, securing their qualified plan design, and managing their 401k plans, et cetera.
And then I heard a rumor that last weekend you were out shooting little animals.
You know, I've recently picked up deer hunting. I grew up playing hockey, and there wasn't really time to deer hunt when you're a hockey player. But now that I'm married to a deer hunting family, here I was. I actually took two deer this weekend.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Now, can you tell us, how did you get to the General John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA?
I met someone in my industry who was involved with the chapter, and he told me about what the chapter was doing and that I should come to a member meeting. So I followed his advice. I came to my first member meeting, and it was before the end of the hour that I was already on a committee. And I have since been in some form of a leadership position with the chapter since. And I love engaging with the military community and providing support for military families through AUSA.
Jocelyn, I've been out to a number of those meetings, but I didn't get sucked into a leadership position, and you're already the president.
Exactly, exactly. It's been about 4 years I've been through the ranks, so.
Well, good for you.
Thank
and good
you.
For engaging, and let's talk about the AUSA chapter. There's a lot of activities throughout the year.
Yes, yes. We have several programs that sort of identify who we are at the national level among 126 other chapters worldwide. Some of them include our Toys for Military Kids program, our VA Polytrauma Unit Christmas Party. But what I've found in my trips out to Washington, D.C., is our namesake has helped us stand out. People are inspired by General Vesey with his 46-year career. He actually lied about his age when he was 16 so that he could join the military a little bit early. Started serving prior to World War II and served through the ranks from an enlisted soldier to a general, which is very rare.
From an E-1 to a four-star general.
Yes.
And the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs. We've had him on the show, and unfortunately he's no longer with us, so
he
isn't. Don't get to meet him.
And I unfortunately was not able to meet him. He served under Ronald Reagan, and one of the most notable aspects of that service was his support for the Reagan-era increase in defense spending and military readiness.
Well, Jocelyn, we're a short time today because we've had a busy show. What's the mission of the local chapter of the AUSA?
Our mission, we are the U.S. Army's professional association. We're the voice for the Army on Capitol Hill, and we offer support for soldiers, cadets, and their families. So we really encompass the whole Army. We're the only association that does that.
But your membership is open to all members of all veterans, all members of all services.
Civilians, non-veterans, yeah. Et cetera, yes.
And you do some local things. You've got a golf tournament each year.
Our golf tournament is our major fundraiser. We host that at Hazeltine National Golf Course. Email me to buy your foursome.
And you've got an annual 5K.
We've got a 5K that supports all of our ROTC leadership opportunities and support for our VESE running teams.
So you've got a busy year.
Very busy year.
And you've had a lot of, I know that you've got a lot of people that have been members for a long time show up every month. And,
yes.
And they're always working on projects to help our military and our families.
Well, one of the things we say is that nothing happens military related in Minnesota without our chapter or members of our chapter knowing about it. So we're represented by almost every military nonprofit in Minnesota resource networking group, whether it's at the monthly meeting or virtually.
And I understand you were also recently out in Washington, D.C. at a conference.
Yes, our annual meeting was held in October, out in D.C. It's an incredible opportunity to network with military leadership, learn about the future or the short-term future of the military and their needs. And of course, our VESE running team competes every year in the Army 10-miler on the same weekend. So we had some success this year with a second place, a third place in respective divisions.
Now, Jocelyn, we just got about a minute left. For our listeners out there that are interested in more information about the General Jack VESE chapter of the AUSA, how do they get involved? How can they get a hold of you?
Well, our ask is to show up, pitch in, you know, give us your time, your talent, your wallet. Go to VESEchapter.org and see how you can contact us to support us.
There's two more programs that I want to talk about quickly. One is the annual polytrauma party at the VA hospital.
Yes. So that's an exclusive party for those soldiers who are on that unit. So they're generally very in very bad shape physically. This party provides them with a gift bag of donated items, and generally these items are things that are going to help with their recovery needs. This party happens annually, and it's probably really a breakthrough event for some of these soldiers who are in a really bad place.
So that's a really important annual holiday event.
It absolutely is.
And you could use some volunteers and probably could use
Well,
some
with
donors.
The exclusivity of it, what we need is money.
The money.
Yeah.
Okay. It all comes down to
Yeah,
money.
Exactly. Or items, really. You know, things that are going to help with dexterity, vision, audio books, things like that.
Jocelyn, thanks for joining us
Thank
today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jocelyn Kujula, the president of the AUSA General Jack W. VESE chapter. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mike Clark about toys for military kids. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with folks from the VESE chapter of the AUSA, and we've got a special recurring guest on the show, Mike Clark from Toys for Military Kids. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
How many years have you been coming on here to talk about these toys, the number four military kids?
Started in 2014, so this will be my fifth year. Les and I appeared on the first one to pass the torch in 14.
And Les Hansen was on with me a few years before that. So we've been talking about toys for military kids for a long time. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection is part of the reason that this started up was military folks, if they are in the Guard or the Reserve and have a paycheck, they're not eligible to get toys at Christmas time if they need them from certain other organizations.
That's correct.
And so there was a need for some of our military who maybe only work one weekend a month or are disadvantaged somehow, or not earning enough money, that don't have the money for their kids. And you're filling a gap that existed out there. And tell us a little bit about what you do and how you get the toys.
Well, basically, as you said, Les started this in 2002 with a $100 bill and some frustration with the deployment of moms and dads. And the program has expanded exponentially since then to the point where last year we distributed 3,000 toys to 50 units and 116 families in four states in a matter of basically November through January. And it's still our point to try to do that again this year with collection boxes all over the Twin Cities.
Now, Mike, how does this work? Do you contact the units and let them know that if they're going to have a Christmas party and they have a need, that you'll fill it? And how do they find the military families, proud families, how do they find the families that want some help?
Well, I'm utilizing your network, Tom. Sharon Baker, whom you had on a couple weeks ago, shot out a note to pretty much the entire state so that we get applications from units to fill for their toy parties that are in conjunction with their drill weekend. So that's our first emphasis, is try to get the unit parties stocked when they have them, basically from now until the middle of January.
And how many of those unit parties do you have coming up this year?
So far, we've got 37, but it's still early. Last year, as I said, we did 50.
What's the distribution look like? That's a lot of toys and a lot of units and a lot of places to get them out.
Well, it appears that the soldiers are, after being deployed, are doing a lot more than just drilling. The size of the units has increased immeasurably, anywhere from 75 to over 100.
So on these toys that you collect up, and in years past, I know you fill your house with them sometimes.
That's correct.
And I think you've got some other space now, but how do you, after you get them, how do you get them out to the units?
Every unit that we've been able to contact has either had a contact in the Twin Cities or is willing to come up, as the case from the Iowa Guards and Reserves, actually come up to our house and pick up the toys, and some of them carpool in a government service vehicle and pick up the toys.
So they tell you how many toys they need and what kind of age groups, you put them together and they come pick them up and off they go to these parties.
That's correct. As I said, Sharon Baker was kind enough to send out the application to all the units, and they in turn send that back to me. Word of mouth helps. I get phone calls constantly asking if the drive is going to be happening this year, because there is turnover in some of the commanders. But it's a wonderful process, and it continues to get bigger.
So you're playing Santa Claus, so to speak, for the organization Toys, the number 4 Military Kids. Now, how are you funded? Where do you get the toys, Mike?
Well, thanks to you, we've been able to come on for the last number of years and ask people to donate. We're a 501c3, obviously, through the VESE chapter. They can go to the VESEchapter.org, and there's instructions on how to make the check, who to make the check out to, and that type of thing. All of our collection boxes in the Twin Cities have cards, which has essentially the same information. And it should be noted, we're also part of the Thrivent Financial System. So if people are familiar with Thrivent Financial, they can donate that way without any impact.
So when you joined with the VESE chapter some years ago, you and Les, you did that because they are a 501c3 nonprofit. And so if anyone wants to write a check and donate some funds to Toys for Military Kids, then it qualifies as they can use it as tax deduction.
That is correct, and we do send out the tax letters and the thank you letters as well.
Okay, well, this is getting close now. What do you need? You need volunteers? You need money? You need toys? All of the above.
Same as last year, D, all of the above.
And once again, give us your contact information. If our listeners want to help, what's the quickest, easiest way to get a hold of you? And you need them quick.
Yep, VESEchapter.org. They can go, and there'll be a contact for me. Otherwise, it's msclark454@comcast.net. Cell phone number 651-235-9181.
All right, Mike, we just got a few seconds left now. These parties are coming up the end of November and early December. They're not waiting until Christmas, are they?
Nope. Sequestration has reared its ugly head as far as toys is concerned, and there was a big concern that maybe some of these parties would be canceled. So we're doing them early.
They're coming up quick. So if any of our listeners want to help, one last time, where do they go?
VESEchapter.org.
VESEchapter.org. They need some volunteers, they need some money, and they need some toys to take care of our military that can't have a great Christmas. Mike, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom.
Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom, great to be with you again. Thank you.
Sergeant Major, I don't know where the first 10 months of the year went, but they're gone. It's been a busy year. I know it has been for you and the Minnesota National Guard, but here we are in November, and we've got Veterans Day coming up, and we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and we've got soldiers and airmen scattered all over the world.
Yeah, we sure do, and you're right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, this year has gone by just so quick, and our Minnesota National Guard, both the Army and the Air, they've been extremely busy. Obviously, you know, we've got soldiers and airmen deployed across this globe and doing great work for our country, for our nation.
And Sergeant Major, the first thing coming up is Veterans Day, and I know there's some special ceremonies going on this year. You're probably going to be at a couple of them.
Yeah, you know, we always try to participate to our fullest ability across the with the Minnesota National Guard leadership, and you know, it's good to have that presence and continue to thank our veterans for the great things that they've done for our nation, for our state. And you know, what's interesting is I think about the Veterans Day, and we talk about all of our service members. And of course, we have to thank them. But often I feel like we forget to thank those that are behind those veterans that allow us to continue to do our job and support our mission. And as you know, Tom, we can't do this without the continued support of our family members as well. So I have to make sure that on Veterans Day that not only do we thank our veterans, but we thank our family members. You know, again, for their continued support to allow service members to do their job. And then, of course, the next piece is employers. We have to continuously thank the employers for their continued understanding and flexibility to allow our service members to keep serving, those that are serving today, actively serving, because as you know, the tempo of service, the time commitment has increased so much over the last several years, really since 9/11. So on this Veterans Day, this time of thanks, not only do I like to make sure we thank our veterans from all generations for their continued service, for their past service, but then, of course, those that are still serving today and then the family members and employers that help them do their job.
And Sergeant Major, November is also Native American Heritage Month, and last week we were up in Cloquet with the Fond du Lac Lake Superior Band of Chippewa and saluted all of those Native Americans that serve in such great numbers.
Yes, and, you know, I listened to the show, and, you know, what a fantastic show. And I did not realize the percentage of our Native Americans that have that propensity to serve. And what a great piece of information to learn. And that powwow event that you talked about on several different guests just sounds like a fantastic event, and I sure hope I can get to experience that next year. I think it'd be just a great opportunity.
Sergeant Major, that was a great event. If you can put that Veterans Powwow on your to-do list and your bucket list, you'll enjoy it a great deal. Sergeant Major, we just got a little bit of time left, but we're going into the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know the Red Bulls have 650 or so soldiers over in the desert. You've experienced that. How tough is it on our troops being away from home at the holidays?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, but here's the great thing is, you know, when we're deployed, we're deployed with our extended family. And it's not a unique experience to any one soldier or airman because they've got other soldiers and airmen there with them. So although it's difficult, I can tell you my favorite time of the year is the Thanksgiving holiday, and it is difficult to be away from family, but knowing that we have others there with us going through the same thing, experiencing the same thing, we get through it just fine, and we're there to provide that big support network like we do for our brothers and sisters in arms.
Well, Sergeant Major, we're looking forward to doing some Red Bull updates every 4 weeks on the show. Sergeant Ben's over there, and we're gonna keep telling those stories and make sure that all of our listeners across 56 stations stay up to date with all the great work that your soldiers are doing over in the desert.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to hearing those updates, and I'm hoping to be able to have some good conversations with Sergeant Ben as well, maybe on some of those days that they call in. And of course, just keeping tabs on the rest of the Red Bull soldiers, and they're going to do great. And shoot, when they come back, you're going to be at 9 years in this business doing the fantastic work you've been doing for Minnesota Military Radio.
We'll keep plugging away, Sergeant Major. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, Tom, and thanks so much. Happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for your service to our country, to our nation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Command Sergeant Major Doug Werthern, the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We just have one mention today. Keep in mind, November 17th, we'll need all hands on deck for an old-fashioned huge packing event at Hugo City Hall, 9 o'clock starting time, as we pack and ship to the 650 soldiers of the recently deployed 34th Infantry Division. So November 17th at 9 o'clock, get a hold of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Martina Malik, Jocelyn Kujala, Mike Clark, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shalito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to the commander of the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion and learn about the Vietnam War Roundtable. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.